This Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." I hope you have that same belief as well. This morning I want to talk to you guys about our God is the powerful Creator. Last week we looked at God of mercy and justice and how those two can go together, how they don't contradict each other. If you want to listen to that again, it's online. You can go to the website and listen to that. This morning we're talking about God is a powerful Creator. God demonstrated His power to create. And when we talk about His creation, and there's an illustration that I used before where scientists told God, you know, we don't need you anymore. We got everything figured out. We can actually create life in a laboratory, you know, and just like you created man from dirt, you know, we can do that now too, you know. And God says, well, okay, I'd like to see that. And so the scientist bends down, he starts taking the dirt and folding or forming a man out of it, and God says, wait a second, get your own dirt. Now, obviously, they actually can't create life in a laboratory, but that was just a story. But the idea is that when God created the world, He created it out of nothing, okay? Creation ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means out of nothing. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." And Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So we see that God created the world by the power of His Word. And we have that account in Genesis 1. God said, "Let there be," and there was. He didn't get a bunch of tools out, right? You know, been working on a house down in Avon. You got to have tools in order to be able to fix stuff, right? You want to go out and sow a seed or reap a harvest, you got to have combines and all kinds of machinery, right? But God is so powerful that all He did was speak, and it came to be. It came to pass. He created everything out of nothing. And the other thing, well, before I get to that, there's a gentleman named Eugene Cernan. He was an astronaut, and he enjoyed the exciting adventure of walking on the moon. And he said with wonder, "Our world appears big and beautiful, all blue and white. You can see from the Antarctic to the North Pole, and the Earth looks so perfect. There are no strings to hold it up. There is no fulcrum upon which it rests." He was contemplating the infinity of space and time, and he said he felt as if he were seeing Earth from God's perspective when it was created. God created everything, not just the Earth, but the stars, the moon, everything that is, He created out of nothing. But then also we see that He created, He didn't just create a universe, He created a mature universe. In 2 Peter 3:5 it says, "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." But the heavens were of old. He created a mature universe. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, and who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other." Now, some people, they call themselves old earth creationists. Some people would fall into this camp who are theistic evolutionists, that sort of thing. Their argument is that God could have created the earth as if it were old, but that would be dishonest. So, like, for example, we see, or we believe that we think, stars are so far away and that light travels at a constant speed, and so we can measure the time that it takes for the light to get to where we are, and from that we can, through mathematics, have an idea of the distance of those stars. There's some assumptions there, but they would say that God would not have created that light coming towards us. Let's say it would take, 100,000 years for that light to come to us. They would say that would be dishonest for God to create that light coming 10,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, or etc. But I think in Scripture we see a very clear image, or God is very clear in His Word, that He made a mature universe. And I think even from logic we could probably establish that. Imagine if He were to plant, which He said He did, all the seeds, He made all the plants on day three. But imagine if instead He decided to plant all those plants on day three. Okay? He's going to start a new universe. He's going to plant all the plants on day three. And He made all the animals on day six. You guys see a problem there? All the plants are still in the ground. I mean, how long does it take for a germination and a seedling to come up? A week or two at least, right? And so we have these seeds that haven't sprouted, and all of our animals are dying because there's nothing for them to eat. They say, no, it took a long time. You see, these days aren't actually 24-hour periods. These are ages. The days stand for ages. And each day represents an age, and it's a long period of time. So on day three, God created the plants, and it would be a long time before those animals came around. Well, we have another problem, right? Because plants require something else. They don't subsist on their own. Plants need to be fertilized and pollinated in order to produce offspring. And so while the plants maybe started as seeds and they grow up, there's no honeybees or anything to pollinate the plants. And so then they die without producing any more seed. And then a long time goes by, and when the animals finally come around, there's still nothing for them to eat. The only way it works is the way that God said that He did it. In order for there to be seeds for the plants to multiply, it'll need to be pollinated, fertilized, and that requires the honeybee, which God created a few days after creating the plants. Maybe we should just take God at His word and recognize that He made everything out of nothing in six literal days. And to demonstrate His power to do this, Jesus, as His first miracle in His earthly ministry, He turned six literal pots of water into fully aged wine. So we see that God demonstrated His power to create. But also, He demonstrated His power over death. It's one thing to give life, and that's an amazing miracle. If any of you guys have ever seen a baby being born, what an amazing miracle to see life. But God also demonstrated His power over death. And first of all, in raising Christ. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23 says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." You see, God demonstrated His power over death by raising Christ, and then He sat Him over all and gave Him authority over all. Christ said, "All authority has been given to Me." And so we see that God has power even over death. not only was Christ raised, but also many other people were raised throughout Scripture. The Bible records 9 individuals, at least, in Scripture who are clearly raised from the dead. There was 3 accounts in the Old Testament, 3 individuals that were raised by Jesus. Peter and Paul both raised a person from the dead. And of course, most importantly, Jesus himself was resurrected. And also in addition to that, when Jesus was resurrected, the Scripture says that there was other saints who were resurrected at that time who went out and told of Jesus' resurrection. One of those resurrection accounts is found in Luke chapter 7. It says that Jesus, when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." And he came and he touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. It goes on in that account there to say that the people were amazed. And they went out and spread that account throughout the whole area. Wouldn't that be an awesome sight to see? I mean, to have a funeral proceeding, we're going out to bury this guy, and just all of a sudden, this guy just walks up and says, "Don't worry about that. Go ahead and get up." The guy gets up, and what do you do after that? Go back to the church and have a celebration instead of a funeral lunch, right? I mean, what an amazing thing to see God's power right then and there in the physical universe. He demonstrated his power to create. He demonstrated his power over death. And lastly, we see that he demonstrates his power to recreate. In Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh." The psalmist prayed that same prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God has the power to recreate. And he wants to give us a new heart and a new life. 1 Corinthians 6 says, God both raised up the Lord, and he will raise us up by his power. Bill Bright, the guy that was the head of Campus Crusade for Christ, but also the guy that wrote a lot of the things that we've been going through in Sunday school on evangelism. Just months before he died, in July of 2003, he wrote this: "Even though I've always believed in heaven and hell, after I became a believer, I gave little thought to it. But in recent months, I've been writing on heaven and hell. And my logic is this: the God whom we worship created at least 100 billion galaxies. Some astronauts say it was at least 200 billion galaxies. Do we give God credit? They say it was a Big Bang. But it was this great Creator God who made all this majesty and glory. You can imagine then what he's done to create heaven. Because he described heaven by saying this: eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither knows the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Beauty and magnificence beyond anything our little finite minds can imagine." We watched that video. Just the awesomeness of God's creation. Just the awesome power that God has. And he says, "You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen nothing yet. What God has in store for those who love him." Lastly, God gives us His power. God has so much power. He created the world. He raised the dead. He put a new heart within us. He gave us the power to become His sons and daughters. And then He says, I want you to have that same power. I want you to have that power in your life. And He gives that power to us through His Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Jesus promised in Acts 1:8, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Sometimes, though, we listen to television, and there's preachers on television, and they preach a different gospel. And they give the idea that God's power is one that will give us riches and honor in this world. We can gather wealth and significance and power that is coveted by this world. But Paul had a different perspective. Paul said in Scripture, he said, My grace... He said that the Lord said to him, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace, meaning God's grace, is sufficient for us, for His strength, His power, is made perfect in weakness. That's a little bit different perspective than the world's power and might. I think of Jim Guzzi, who was here last week. You know, when I went and visited him in the hospital, the nurses would say, it's a miracle that he's still alive today. A miracle. And never once did he say, yeah, you know, just coincidence. Oh, yeah, it's, you know, I guess I deserved it. I deserved another. No. He recognized that it was the power of God that gave him another chance at life. He didn't deserve it, but God, through His power, saved him. There was a man named Tony Campolo. You guys probably recognize that name, some of you. He tells a story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Campolo prayed boldly for the man's healing. And that next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife. And she said, You prayed for my husband, and he had cancer. Campolo thought when he heard the past tense of the verb that his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think much about it, she said he died. He felt terrible. She continued, Don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. And the more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable that he was to everyone around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But the lady told Campolo, After you prayed for him, a peace came over him, and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read Scripture, we've prayed. Oh, they've been wonderful days. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing. And then she said something very profound. She said he wasn't cured, but he was healed. He wasn't cured, but he was healed. God gives us his power in our lives, at work in us, and oftentimes it's through our weaknesses that he demonstrates how powerful he is. Oftentimes we don't even recognize it until we think back on how good God has been. But His power is for His glory. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." That power is at work in us, and it's for His glory. That we are to glorify God in everything that we do. And as we do according to His will, and as we glorify Him in our lives, that He will bring that power and it will continue to work in us. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful that You are so powerful. You are truly the Almighty God, most powerful. Lord, You displayed Your power by the works of Your hands. Your creation, most beautiful. Lord, Your ability to not only give life, but to give it again by raising the dead. And Lord, that helps us to have confidence in Your word, to know that when we leave this world, Lord, that we will be reunited with You and that we will again have life. If we're willing to lay our lives down, the Lord said we will keep it. And Lord, that is only through Your power. And Lord, Your power to recreate our lives. To take something that was stained, to take something that was marred and broken, and to turn it around into something completely new and wonderful. Lord, only You can do that. It's only through Your power at work in us, through Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we are just so thankful. We're so thankful that You are willing to demonstrate Your power, but at the same time, Lord, Your mercy, as we looked at last week, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and die for us, that He would lay down that power and enter this world as a humble servant, Lord, so that we could partake of Your goodness, so that we could recognize all that You are and all that You want to give to us. Lord, You are so good to us. Help us to recognize that. Help us to be thankful. Just to recognize how awesome You really are. We're so thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.